afternoon I'll present the results of some of my research on evidence of risky health behavior in online ads for escorts. And I have no financial or conflicts of interest, anything to disclose. This research is focused on a type of prostitution that's based in escort services, which typically occurs indoors. And that's in contrast to street-based prostitution, which typically occurs outdoors. And escort-based prostitution has actually grown dramatically in, from what we can tell in recent years, and that's been facilitated by the internet, because the internet permits escorts to find clients relatively easily, and it's law enforcement is actually less likely to target prostitution that occurs indoors where it's less visible. So some researchers have then argued that, well, escort-based prostitution occurring indoors is safer than street-level prostitution. But I wondered, well, is there something then inherent, though, about escort activity that's risky and dangerous? And could it be risky to the escort herself or even to the general public? And so I wanted to get away from the nature of just being on the street versus the actual prostitution and the escort-based services that occur and determine whether or not there's any evidence that those activities are inherently risky. And so to do that, or to answer that question, we collected some relatively unique data, and we collected these data from a website called escorts.com, and I'll talk more about that website in a minute. But I collected these data when I was at the University of North Carolina, and because we had to limit our sample, we limited our sample to escorts who indicated that they worked in North Carolina, and of that sample, they were all female. I created this template that permitted our student volunteers to download data from escorts.com. And these are data indicating characteristics and services that the escorts provided. And so then our student volunteers downloaded these data into the template, and then we used the data and from the template to create variables measuring these services and characteristics that the escorts advertised on the website. So escorts.com had these profiles, and escorts could then post a profile of themselves on the website, and they were actually similar to a Facebook profile. She could post information about her personal characteristics and her likes and dislikes, but of course they differed from Facebook in a key area, and that's because the escorts on escorts.com were able then to actually indicate in explicit detail the services that they would be willing to provide to a client or a John. These detailed listings of services are no longer available on websites because escorts.com shut down in 2010. So we collected these data in February of 2010, and the FBI conducted a raid on the corporate offices of escorts.com in fall 2010. And so following the raid, the website shut down, and now I would say few, if any, websites permit escorts or other prostitutes to list the explicit details of the services that they'll provide in exchange for money, because there was just too much pressure from law enforcement, and of course, it's illegal. So we were, I guess, somewhat fortunate in that we happened to collect these data before the website was shut down, and that we still have these data. And it's because, you know, obviously you can't directly measure and observe the possibility of risky behavior among escorts. And so we wondered, well, do these data then provide us with any evidence that there's a willingness to take risks among escorts? And so to examine that question, do the items and characteristics, services that they choose to advertise, do they provide evidence of a willingness to take a risk? We used exploratory factor analysis to analyze the data. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'm somewhat familiar with it. A friend of mine did the analysis for me. But factor analysis looks at the interdependence among the variables that you can see, the variables that you can measure, to determine if that interdependence stems from some underlying relationship to a smaller number of latent characteristics you can't measure. And so those latent unmeasured characteristics are called factors. And so we wondered, does what we see and what we can observe, does it interrelate and correlate with some underlying factor? And We found that, yes, we extracted three factors from these data. We used exploratory factor analysis because we hypothesized that there would be at least one factor measuring risky behavior, but we chose the exploratory method to permit for the possibility of other factors. And I posted a handout that describes in detail all the advertised items and how they load within each factor. And that saves me the chore of having to describe these in detail. So that handout is available online. The first factor that we found, we are indeed terming that as a risky sexual behavior. It comprises 13 advertised items, and these items either explicitly or implicitly do not involve condom use, but they involve very intimate sexual behavior. There's a second factor that we extracted. We're terming that as unconventional sexual behavior. It includes 13 advertised items relating to BDSM, role-playing behavior, that's bondage, domination, sadomasochism behaviors. And then we also extracted a third factor that we're describing as autonomy popularity. And this factor comprises 8 advertised items. And these items indicated that the escort worked independent of an agency or another person, and that she had received a large number of highly positive reviews on the website from John's or from her clients. The correlations between these factors, I also listed those on the handout as well, the correlations are relatively low, and that's a good thing because that means that each of these factors is measuring some relatively distinct or unique characteristic. And then we did another simpler analysis. We developed a very basic scale that gives each escort a score for each of the 3 latent factors. So this isn't, if you know about factor analysis, it's not a factor score, it's what's called a sum score. So we calculated the percentage of each factor's advertised items that the escort, each individual escort, advertised. So for example, for that risky behavior factor, there were 13 items. So if the escort advertised 6 or 7 of them, she'd get a score of 50% for that factor. And then we used a simple ordinary least squares regression to see if there was a relationship between the escort's advertised age and race and her score on each of those factors. And it was, I guess, somewhat surprising to me. Average scores for the risky and unconventional sexual behavior were relatively low. Only about 30% on average of those items were advertised by the escort. And I have descriptive statistics in that same handout that's available online. But average scores for autonomy and popularity for that factor were relatively high, about 90%. And there were significant results from the regression analysis as well. So I found that each 1-year increase in an escort's age is associated with a small increase in her score for a given latent factor. And in addition, escorts who described themselves as Black did not score as high on the risky sexual behavior factor as escorts who described themselves as White. In fact, on average, their scores were quite a bit lower, 6 percentage points lower. So in general, for the implications of this, I do think that escort activity as it's advertised online appears to measure some sort of generalized risky sexual behavior. And that behavior may present risks for the escort and for her clients, or her Johns. And also that older White escorts may engage in that risky behavior to a greater extent than their younger non-White counterparts. And I'd note, though, that this advertised activity that measures the unconventional sexual behavior, the BDSM and role-playing behavior, it may not be inherently risky in and of itself, but as practiced within the world of prostitution, where the partners do not know each other, typically do not know each other at all, it may also present risks. But some of that may be mitigated somewhat by the fact that the majority of the escorts who advertised online appeared to be relatively autonomous. So I do research on sex trafficking as well, and I actually started this project as an extension of that research. And I did not see a lot of evidence of coerced prostitution from these ads. But law enforcement pressure, you know, has reduced the online visibility of a lot of this stuff. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the behaviors themselves have changed. So, we understand that now you can't post that stuff online. That's just these explicit advertising of what you're willing to do. But that doesn't mean that the behaviors themselves have changed. So yes, thank you, law enforcement, for reducing the visibility, but we can't study it anymore now, and that we don't have any evidence, of course, that the behavior itself has changed. So, thank you.